This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Medical Frontiers is an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network. The information featured on Medical Frontiers is intended solely to further the public's general knowledge of current developments in the field of medicine and should not be relied upon as offering advice, diagnosis, or opinions as to any individual treatment or problem. Nothing should replace the relationship that you maintain with your personal physician.
Well, good evening. Dr. Gerald Pfeiffer here with another session of Medical Frontiers. Tonight, we're going to be talking about what is going on in the new technology era as far as benign prostatic hypertrophy is. And we're going to explain what that is and what the standard treatments are. And there's going to be a new treatment that we're going to introduce tonight that has been used just for a short length of time that seems like it's going to be a very, very good accessory treatment when you compare it to other treatments that have been for this particular problem. And we're very happy to have Dr. Cameron Jones. Dr. Jones has been with AHN about a year. He's a urologist and has had special training 6 years after medical school. Sometimes people don't realize how long it takes for physicians to become specialists and subspecialists. But welcome to Medical Frontiers, Dr. Cameron Jones.
Thanks for having me.
And Dr. Jones is a native of Pittsburgh, and we're glad to have him here in Pittsburgh and with AHN. Tell us a little bit about BPH, or benign prostatic hypertrophy.
Yeah. BPH is one of the most common reasons that aging men seek medical care. It's extremely common, and the process is essentially invariable. All men's prostates grow as they age, and the exact reasons for that, interestingly, we don't exactly know, but it happens, and the extent to which the prostate grows and the extent to which it causes a problem for any man, that's what's highly variable. And many men simply live with symptoms of BPH, and they expect that it's just a normal part of aging, which, of course, we can sort of talk about what's normal and not, as we go along. But BPH in general is a process that causes obstruction to urination and makes it harder for a man to get his urine out.
Okay, sorry about that break. We're going to take one a little later. Dr. Jones, continue on about this BPH. It's very common. I read on some of the literature that 40 million men in the United States. That's a lot of men.
40 million, and that's just those that actually seek treatment for it. The amount that are suffering silently, and again, there's a I hear it all the time that, I sort of assume that this is just a normal part of aging and that all men live with this. And while, as I said, the prostate does grow in all men, not all men live with symptoms related to BPH. And that's really what we focus on is managing and improving a man's quality of life as it pertains to the symptoms that BPH causes.
Yeah. And so what are the major symptoms that cause a patient's PCP to send them to somebody like you for help?
Yeah. So I think the way it usually goes is a man will mention to their PCP that, maybe they're going to the bathroom more often than they were before, or they're having trouble getting their urine out, starting and stopping on them. They're sitting at the toilet for a minute before it starts. They're getting up at night. And that typically prompts the PCP to start medical therapy, which is a very appropriate place to start. And we often see these men, ideally, if they're not having an adequate response to those medications in terms of symptomatic improvement, or if they're having some other worsening problems. Say, for example, they can't get their urine out at all and they're requiring a catheter, having bleeding in their urine, or if, you know, at the very end stage, problems with their kidneys and things like that, they're much less common. Usually it's more the symptoms that drive us seeing these patients.
Well, Robert asked me during the tease, what happens if you can't empty your bladder at all? That can be dangerous as far as the kidneys are concerned and everything else.
Absolutely. Kidneys is, as urologists, kidneys is always one of our first priorities, is protecting people's kidneys. But fortunately, that is the minority of cases we see. But it is not infrequent at all for a man to end up in a situation where he's dependent on a catheter to empty his bladder. And living with a catheter, although sometimes necessary, is something that if we can avoid, we certainly like to.
Okay. And what are some of the other treatments that can be done? Surgically, we talked about medicine, but what about surgery? That's a pretty common procedure, is it not?
Yeah. So some of the most common medications that are used for BPH are medicines like Flomax or Tamsulosin, men may have heard of, things like Finasteride or Proscar, which can also be used for male pattern baldness in different doses. But a lot of men with these symptoms may have been offered or started on these medications by their primary care doctor. And occasionally, and it's no fault of the primary care physician, it's a gap between us and them, and also just the sheer number of patients that need this care. But a lot of them are maintained on these medicines, and they live with symptoms because they sort of think that's the end of the road, is if they're not better with the medicines, then that is what their life is. But we have all sorts of surgeries we can do to improve a man's quality of life related to BPH, and even free them from catheters if a man is in that situation. The common surgeries people may have heard of are things like a TURP, T-U-R-P, transurethral resection of the prostate. People call it the Roto-Rooter. That's what we were talking about. There's also green light laser. People call that PVPs. Laser prostatectomy is another common treatment. There's also things that men may have heard of, like UroLift and Resume. There's some of the most common procedures done for
that. UroLift is more of a structural thing. Sort of lifting the urethra up a little bit.
Right. So the laser and the TURP, both are fundamentally just removing obstructive tissue that's in the way, making it harder for a man to get his urine out. Resume and UroLift are a little bit less invasive, but they don't effectively remove as much or any tissue. They're just sort of altering the anatomy to make it a little bit easier, again, for a man to urinate. Aquablation is kind of an interesting combination of those things.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about this new instrument that is available now at AHN in Western Pennsylvania, the first one, and tell us a little bit about when you started using that and how effective it has been and exactly what it is.
Yeah, we were very, very excited to get this. Again, as you mentioned, the only one of these in Western Pennsylvania. It's a robotic system that allows us to very precisely and efficiently remove tissue that is, again, obstructing a man's urine flow. And I think the way I explain all of this, because the anatomy of the lower tract, urinary tract, is not something men are familiar with. The way I explain it to men is it's not complicated at all. It's just a pump and it's a pipe, right? So the bladder is the pump, the pipe is the urethra tube, and the prostate can clog that pipe. And it is actually relatively easy to unclog the pipe. And so, again, it's a reason why I really encourage men who are living with symptoms and on medications, or maybe not even, and not content with the way that they're urinating, really bothered by it. We certainly consider surgery for them.
Yeah. And so instead of using the Roto-Rooter, you're using high-pressure water to be the Roto-Rooter, to erode portions of the prostate that's too big.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So it's essentially a pressure washer that unclogs that pipe. So it's extremely precise. We use real-time image guidance, and the robotic system allows us to map out exactly the tissue that we want to remove, and importantly also the tissue we don't want to remove. So we're able to spare men some of the side effects, which we can, you know, get into more of traditional BPH surgeries. We're able to spare them a lot of those side effects because of how precise this is and allowing us to choose exactly the tissue to remove that's causing them trouble urinating, but leave tissue behind that historically would cause side effects related to that treatment.
Yeah. And how long have you been using this now?
So this has been at Allegheny Health Network since February, and this technology itself has been around for about a decade.
Okay, well, that's great. We're going to talk more about that when we come out of the break. This is Medical Frontiers. We're talking about BPH this evening, and you can give us a call at 866-391-1020. Okay, we're back on Medical Frontiers. Give us a call at 866-391-1020 if you want to ask questions of our expert, Dr. Cameron Jones, who is a urologist, Allegheny Health Network. We're talking about benign prostatic hypertrophy this evening, something that many, many men suffer from, and there are treatments. And remember, this is Men's Health Month. The month of June is concentrated on men's health, and this is a big part of men's health. Okay, let's continue our conversation about this new device that has been used now in how many patients have been treated so far?
Well, in the world, thousands. Mm-hmm. As this is a relatively newer technology to Allegheny Health Network, we're rapidly building up our experience as well, and which has been fantastic. And I should go back and explain a bit why we think about doing surgery and when and why we think about doing surgery for men with BPH. And I sort of tell men flat out, look, if you're having trouble urinating and you start Flomax or, you know, pick your pill of choice and you feel 100% better, then perfect. That's
right.
Great. That's best case scenario.
Yeah.
The problem is that isn't the case for the majority of men with urinary symptoms related to BPH. And furthermore, all those medications have side effects. It could be dizziness, sexual side effects, changes in their libido, things like that, that again, they often feel that they have to live with if they want to maintain the improvement they saw in their urination. But again, these are all reasons we start thinking about surgery. So if you're still bothered by your urination despite medications, or if you're suffering from side effects of medications, or if you just don't want to take medications, right? There's a lot of men in their 40s, 50s, 60s who, you know, just don't want to be on a pill every day for the rest of their life, you know, quite reasonably. And so that's where all of these surgeries we talked about come in. And what's special about Aquablation, what makes us really excited to have it and offer it to patients is, firstly, it allows us to very, very effectively treat these symptoms in a minimally invasive way. So there's no cuts on the outside of the body with this procedure, right? It's all through the urethra tube that you pee through. The other thing about it is it's a extremely quick recovery. So men are in the hospital one night, catheter usually just for one day while they're in the hospital. The vast majority of them are go home the next day, no catheter, peeing 100% better. And the other thing that makes it unique compared to some of these other prostate surgeries we were talking about is that it's free, almost completely free of sexual side effects, right? So men are always worried when it comes to any treatment related to the prostate about things like erectile dysfunction, which I want to make very clear, Aquablation and truly 99% of BPH surgeries never really do cause. But the one thing they can cause is changes in a man's ejaculation, which some people don't think about, but it's also a common side effect of the medications. And Aquablation is unique in that, unlike some of these other procedures, we are able to remove the tissue that's blocking them from being able to urinate, but preserve the tissue so they have normal sexual function. And again, that's all with no cuts on the outside of the body and, you know, looking at just one night in the hospital.
And that has a lot to do with sparing the nerve supply.
Yep,
to that area.
The nerves are absolutely spared, and there's tissue, you know, not to get overly technical, but there's tissue around the base of the prostate that we take care to preserve with this procedure that, again, preserves a man's sexual function completely. And the second most powerful thing I would say about Aquablation is that it's essentially size independent. And so,
Okay, well, we need to take a break. This is Medical Frontiers. We're talking about benign prostatic hypertrophy and the treatments and this new treatment that we're talking about with Dr. Jones. Give us a call, 866-391-1020. We'll be back after the break.
Medical Frontiers is an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network.
We're back on Medical Frontiers. This is Men's Health Month, the month of June, which is fast coming to an end. It's hard to believe that next week we have the 4th of July. But tonight we're talking about benign prostatic hypertrophy with Dr. Cameron Jones, who is a urologist, and using a new technique. And I asked him during the break, how often does he recommend this treatment when somebody comes to the crossroads where the medications are not working as well as they should and still having difficulties? And he said, close to 100%. So you're sold that this is an appropriate treatment for men who have benign prostatic hypertrophy and are having the appropriate symptoms to recommend surgery.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's been amazing to see these men recover. You know, in the first several months we've been doing these, how well they've done, and we just get more and more enthusiastic about it every day, and there's a couple reasons for that. And I mentioned some of the other procedures men may have heard about, right? So we talked about TURP, the laser prostatectomy, PVP, green light laser, UroLift, Resume, and there's usually trade-offs with all of these, right? So for the procedures that will more significantly and effectively improve a man's urination, the trade-off is usually some of those sexual side effects we talked about. For men who want to preserve all of their sexual function, they're usually left with options like UroLift and Resume, which again, in the appropriate man, are good treatments, but they are not as effective at treating urinary symptoms as some of the other procedures like TURP and the laser procedure, green light. Aquablation allows us to do both of those. It is as effective, if not more effective, from a symptom standpoint as the bigger surgeries like TURP, PVP, simple prostatectomy, and that's a major abdominal operation, but it preserves the sexual function. So it really has become essentially a one-size-fits-all treatment for a man who has urinary symptoms or is completely unable to urinate.
And there are not very many procedures around which you can say that about.
There are not, right? You know surgery better than any, right? There's always trade-offs, and that's what makes Aquablation a really unique treatment, and that includes men with extremely large prostates. There's probably not a lot, but some men out there who may have been told their only option because their prostate is so big is essentially complete removal.
Yeah.
And this is a procedure that works for them too. And so not only is it less invasive, less side effects, safer than some of those other bigger operations while preserving sexual function, but it's extremely effective. And so, yeah, to your point, it's rare that you get something like that. And once you start doing it and seeing these men back, and I mean, I'm not exaggerating, men are in tears hugging me in the office after these. And, you know, I asked him, how was the recovery? And they were like, what recovery?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Okay, let's go to our phone lines. Jim, you're our first caller. Good evening. Do you have a question?
Yes, doctors. I recently had something called Resum surgery with my urologist. And I'm down the road a ways. I'm still taking Tamsulosin or Flomax, whatever you want to call it. But I'm still having issues. And I'm wondering, was that an effective surgery? Apparently, it was that water, the pressured water thing. I still have problems, and I'm wondering, do I go see somebody else for some other answers and some better thing? Because after the surgery, I had problems. After they took the catheter out, I had some big problems. What?
Yeah,
a UTI with that, and I wasn't real happy with that whole thing.
Okay, Dr. Jones.
Yeah, so it's actually, I'm glad you brought this up. But firstly, I'm sorry to hear that you're suffering with this. And Resume is absolutely an effective treatment for some men. And it's actually frequently confused with aquablation because they both employ water. So Rezūm, what you had, is a sort of a steam-based treatment. And it's one of those treatments, sort of like UroLift, that men are often offered because it's less invasive. It's kind of quick and easy and safe. But as unfortunately it sounds like maybe for you, it's not always extremely effective. Again, for some men, it works fantastically, and sometimes it doesn't. And the good news is, in your case, you haven't lost anything, right? So you tried this. It wasn't too invasive. Hopefully, you recovered relatively well. But if you're still having symptoms, I certainly encourage you to talk to your urologist about it. And if you're interested in a second opinion, we would be absolutely happy to see you. And you would be, of course, with some additional testing, you've most likely men who have almost any man who has had Rezūm would be still a reasonable candidate for aquablation.
Now, the other thing, when I go see my urologist, he's talking about some kind of flow meter test. And then I had the BPA blood test, which come out of 10. And he, I'm not having any symptoms that way with blood in urine or anything like that. But the complications seem to be outweighing the surgery.
So if your PSA number, that's the prostate cancer screening test, if that
right.
number is high, then I would certainly recommend having that evaluated before any more procedures for your urinary symptoms, because of course if we're treating prostate cancer, that's a different treatment path than if it's what we call BPA.
But it's possible that his PSA is elevated because he had a UTI,
certainly.
He had surgery,
certainly.
And so on. So
yeah.
he might not have an increased PSA because of cancer.
Absolutely not. Lots and lots and lots of things can elevate the PSA level in the blood transiently. I would certainly repeat it after some time before I would do anything.
Right.
I certainly would encourage you to make sure... That's followed up on with your urologist, or again, if you're looking to see someone else, that you bring that up with them just to make sure that is addressed as well.
A question: was your PSA normal before you had the procedure?
It was 3 years ago, and then this latest test, they said it was a 10. They didn't say if that was high or low, but I don't know where I fit in with the numbers with that.
Yeah, that is high. What I would generally do in that situation is especially if you were just treated for a urinary tract infection, I would repeat it in about 6 weeks or so. And if it's going down or if it's normalized, then I wouldn't recommend any additional testing.
Would a normal number be under 10?
Normal number. Sorry, I forgot to ask. How old are you?
67.
So I would say anything less than 4 to 5 would be considered normal for that age.
Okay, so 10 is more or less on the high side.
10 is high, yeah.
Cool.
But very okay. Well maybe related to the procedure and infection you had recently.
Hey, doctors, I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. 866-391-1020 is how you can have your questions answered about BPH. Give us a call, 866-391-1020. Talk a little bit, with PSAs and prostate cancer and everything, lots of press and TV, radio, and ex-president Joe Biden was found to have a pretty aggressive prostate cancer recently. And sometimes people come out and say, well, he should have been followed with PSAs, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the standard is to stop PSAs, at 75 or something like that?
Early to mid-70s for most men.
So it wasn't because he was neglected if he didn't have a PSA, because that was sort of the standard of treatment, right?
Absolutely not, yeah.
Say a few words about that.
So... PSA screening is extremely important, and there's some may have seen some controversy about this, especially 10 to 20 years ago, that there was some concern about the effectiveness of PSA screening. And this was based on a trial that unfortunately was somewhat poorly conducted or poorly understood. And once that came out of the sort of details of this study, we have... fortunately, as a community, resumed pretty aggressive PSA screening, but it's in the ideal age range is about 45 to 50, we start. And then 70 to 75, we tend to talk about stopping screening. And that's because the reason we do that, the reason it's so important is because, firstly, prostate cancer is the most common cancer in men, aside from skin cancer. And it is a cancer that doesn't typically have any symptoms until it's progressed quite a bit. And so that's why PSA screening is so important. It's a simple blood test. It can be done with all your other routine blood work that a man has done, with his primary care physician. And it allows us to catch this before it's progressed to a point that treating it becomes more challenging. And so it's extremely, extremely important.
And there are some things that certainly can increase the PSA that are non-cancerous. You know, we talked a little bit about that, prostatitis and so on. So that's a possibility too.
Yeah, absolutely. We never act on one PSA alone for that exact reason. PSAs fluctuate for all sorts of reasons. As you point out, sometimes we don't even exactly know. But if it's repeated and consistently high, it's something we certainly take seriously.
And sometimes, even though a person has been diagnosed with prostate cancer, it's watched because it's not real aggressive. Okay, we need to take a break. This is Medical Frontiers, and this is Men's Health Month. The month is rapidly coming to a close, but we're talking about BPH in men. 40 million people, men, have this in the United States, and some need pretty aggressive treatment. So give us a call, 866-391-1020. We'll be back. Okay, we are back. Our next segment of Medical Frontiers. Give us a call at 866-391-1020. We have a few people in the queue. Let's go to Bill. Bill, you're on Medical Frontiers. Good evening.
Yes, good evening. I didn't hear you mention anything about a procedure called prostate artery embolization. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, absolutely. What can I tell you about it?
Well, actually, I had it done. I was just wondering if I'd have been better off with the procedure you're talking about.
Well, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Actually, pretty good, yeah. It was a more involved procedure, I guess, but overall, my symptoms are vastly improved.
Well, then I'd say,
to be honest with you, I had it done twice.
Yeah,
4 years ago, and then just again recently.
Okay, I mean, if you're feeling better, then I'd say you got a good treatment. I think the role for prostate artery embolization is somewhat limited. I typically recommended for men with very large prostates or men who are having issues with recurrent prostatic bleeding, in which case we have seen our radiology colleagues have some really good success with that. But if you're feeling better, then I think you got a great treatment.
Yes, my prostate was like 143 cc's. Would your procedure have been okay for one that size?
Yeah, I actually recently did one that was over 400.
Wow!
It's a great point you bring up. And historically, for prostates that large, the options were pretty limited to essentially removal of the entire prostate with a big surgery, or actually prostate artery embolization. So I would imagine that is probably why that was recommended too. And I think that's a perfectly reasonable treatment. But yeah, aquablation is unique in that it actually would be able to treat prostates that large.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Lois. Lois, you're on Medical Frontiers.
Thank you. This is a new situation for my husband, and I guess I'm not sure that he is a candidate. He is 83 years old. He really has had no problems up until just the end of last year, and it just seemed like everything started to happen then. He was he got really sick, and it turned out that he was retaining urine. I don't know the size of his prostate. We're honestly, we're just starting to look at this, but this sounded encouraging, but I thought, is this something that has been done on the older population?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've treated patients with this as old as their late 80s, and honestly, truthfully, don't really factor age in. If a man is fit enough for a relatively minimally invasive procedure, then I certainly would not withhold that from anyone. If I think it can help them, and I'm glad you brought up the point of being unable to urinate too, because we haven't talked much about that. But another reason I really encourage men to consider seeing a urologist who are on medications for BPH and still having symptoms is for that exact reason. So the bladder is really what we worry about more than anything. We talk about the prostate all the time, but the bladder becomes the real problem. And when the bladder fails, that becomes a much, much harder problem to manage. And that can happen from longstanding untreated BPH. And so
that's my concern. Also, they did they did a camera scan inside his bladder, and they said everything looks good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it certainly could be a reasonable treatment option for him, and we would be more than happy to see him.
Okay, and thank you very much for the call. And what do you see, this is new, but what do you see out there in the next 5-10 years your field of urology and taking care of patients like this?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think aquablation is, as it pertains to BPH, is rapidly becoming almost a new standard for treating this problem. And otherwise, when it comes to men's health, the two most important things are managing those symptoms of BPH and screening for prostate cancer. Those are two of the most important things we do.
Okay. Thank you very much for being our guest. Good luck with your career. You're only into it for a year, and I know you really like what you're doing. And for patients, you can make an appointment by going to 412-DOCTORS by phone or ahn.org. This is Medical Frontier saying good night. We'll be back in 1 week.
Medical Frontiers was an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network. The information featured on Medical Frontiers was intended solely to further the public's general knowledge of current developments in the field of medicine and should not be relied upon as offering advice, diagnosis, or opinions as to any individual treatment or problem. Nothing should replace the relationship that you maintain with your personal physician.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.